Welcome back to the finance show of tiptv.co.uk. We're joined here with his regular Friday slot. Whenever I look at him, I think it's nearly the weekend. Tim Harrison, Head of Wealth Management for Linear Investments. That is your correct name, is that Tim?
This is it, yep, and I'm always the bearer of good news. It's Friday, so let the party start.
Exactly. Well, the party's already started. It's like 1999 here on the FTSE 100. I think we can see that hopefully in a second, but 6,900 plus, knocking on the door of 7,000, it's just been too easy, hasn't it?
Yes. I think the old adage of selling may go away. The punters have missed out on a real party. I mean, the FTSE pushing towards a 7,000 level. Who'd have thought it, post-Brexit, when we saw such a dramatic decline overnight on what was perceived to be negative sentiment? I think the market at the moment is very buoyant in so much as a lot of M&A activity, a lot of bid spec, and that's sort of helping along. Furthermore, you've seen cable break down to the 129, 130 level and stay down there. So it's a good time to be invested. There is always an element of caution when you are breaking to new highs. But we're reasonably comfortable. But the sentiment may change as we head close to the elections.
Well, it's not the good thing, though, actually. No, as nobody believes it, it must be quite early days yet because people are not piling in. I mean, there's just a few weirdos who bought and thought the market was going to go up after Brexit, and they made the money, but everybody else just sitting there not believing it.
Well, I agree, and the biggest driver, in my opinion, that we could see over the next couple of months is the fact that with Carney reducing rates to 0.25%, it's absolutely zero point in holding cash. So the element is, people are starting to put money into managed funds. The retail private investor starting to put money into managed funds and tracker funds, etc., which ultimately will drive the market. Again, valuations are starting to get a little bit more sort of aggressive. So we are not shouting from the rooftops. We've had an exceptionally strong year performance-wise, but we are maintaining a level head.
Do you think there'll be a tidal wave of money coming towards Linear Wealth Management over the next few months?
Well, we've had a very good year, truth be told, and we've got some very understanding investors who appreciate our sentiment. As we do break new higher ground, breaking through the 68.50, 70 level, which was sort of a key resistance level, as we keep pushing forward, the sentiment is buoyant. So investors are wanting to be part of the party, so to speak. But again, it's a case of maintaining a level head when we do reach extended levels.
Right, there's a couple of stocks you wanted to look at. The first, the bearish one, William Hill.
Yeah, again, we've seen the offer from Rankin 888 come through. It's not a particularly polite scenario. They've sort of done it in a underhand-ish kind of way. William Hill have rebuffed them twice. And my fear is that Rankin 888 is a tripartite agreement. It's not a straightforward acquisition. And my fear is that they just say, do you know what, we don't need you. We're quite happy the way we are, and they walk away. Furthermore, I think the gaming sector is cannibalising itself, and I think growth is going to be limited going forward.
Threesomes can be quite complicated, can't they? In any area of life.
They can be messy.
Right. But the situation here, William Hill, the shares are 326. It's, the top of the range, 400 plus. What are they saying? Why are they saying no? They haven't actually done very well. They do actually need a bit of help, don't they?
Well, I think the initial offer came in at around about the 364 level. So there's not a massive amount of upside from here. I think the initial premium was about 15 or 16% from where the offer came in. Again, William Hill, the whole sector is struggling because of some of these crazy bets that people put on. Obviously, Leicester winning the Premier League last year, and the racing festivals have been very tough. Furthermore, with regards to the Olympics and things going forward, there's not a great deal for punters to gamble on. So I think it's a great deal for, in my opinion, William Hill to open their books, so to speak, and allow an acquisition, I think would be the smart thing to do. That being said, they seem to be rebuffing it. Maybe they want plus £4, who knows? But I do think that if nothing is forthcoming, then we could see them drag back.
Yeah, I think looking from that chart, they let's say that if somebody said 450, they'd be much happier than 360. That seems to be the right level probably for a successful takeover. But you do have, you know, these days, well, you've had management in the recent past, and Smith and Nephew, AstraZeneca, saying no, and you get the feeling they're just saying no because they want to keep their jobs rather than being in the interest of the shareholders.
And also probably accumulating stock at a cheap price so that if and when a bigger offer does come in, they can retire into the sunset.
I couldn't possibly comment. Right, happiest story with Ocado. I always think of it as Meals on Wheels, but there is more to the business than that.
It's a great business, in inverted commas. I think in terms of the way the business has been, it's been a cash burner for years. They have made a lot of progress, and more importantly, signing the deal or realigning the deal with Morrisons earlier in the week does give them a bit more comfort in terms of cash flow, in terms of sharing cost. Obviously, Morrisons and Ocado getting into bed with each other in the UK. You've got the threat of Amazon Prime, etc., really starting to ramp up. But with Ocado getting into bed with Morrisons, I think it makes sense for both parties. It will allow Morrisons to develop their field and develop their business in the online delivery market. And I think with Ocado, they've got some very, very key infrastructure, which, who knows, European and global partners may want to look at.
The other thing it's the A word, isn't it? It's Amazon sort of breathing down everybody's neck or on the horizon. It's like a big, you know, big dark cloud, and that probably pushing people to Ocado, saying, you know, we need something to fight Amazon with, or we will do, and Ocado comes into play.
Well, Ocado have got some very, very sensible and savvy infrastructure behind closed doors, so to speak. Yeah. And that is worth a huge amount. Now, the problem they've had is the fact that they've been burning through cash, and they've been a bit too aggressive, one might suggest, over the last couple of years in trying to get to point Z before, you know, running before they can walk, so to speak. I think with Morrisons taking the cash burn away for an element of this Erith development, I think it makes sense, as I say, for both parties, but you are right in suggesting that other partners may look at them to say, look, we need to ramp up to defend against Amazon. How about it?
So it's Ocado's in a good place strategically and in terms of its asset, which is the logistics software.
It's a smart business, and you've seen it with Sainsbury's acquiring home retail. They wanted that simply because of the home retail's infrastructure in able to get deliveries out ASAP. That is where the money is to be made in the future, which is why Amazon Prime has been so successful. And I think with Ocado, they've got it nailed. They just need a bit of time. Furthermore, Goldman Sachs, who have been a permabull on the company for years, they've got a £6.15 target on the company. You know, that's double your money territory.
Well, I have to say, I'm a bit of a Deliveroo fan myself, but that's another story.
But then again, with those guys, look at the crazy valuations. I mean, they raised £500 million for a couple of guys on a bicycle.
You know, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, it's totally... I mean, this, you know, there's the software and technology, and you can come up with some spin on that. But, I mean, literally, a few guys on bikes. I mean, that's unbelievable.
I liken it to the dot-com boom of the late 90s, early 00s. It's a similar sort of scenario when you've got Uber and the like with valuations in excess of a billion. I mean, it's madness. But it's the future. It's the apps, etc., is where the market's going. Unfortunately, Britain, as a brand, we have a lot of very clever, tech-savvy individuals.
On that note, Tim Harrison, Head of Wealth Management from Linear Investments, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
We'll be back after the break.